You can be turning to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Our text is in Exodus 17, but I want to read some verses here first. While you're turning, I want to quote to you from my pastor's introduction to the story on the manna, which we studied Wednesday night, in his book, Pictures of Christ. His opening comments on the story of the manna are these. Would we be faithful ministers of the gospel of Christ? Would we be faithful teachers and preachers in our generation? Would we be faithful students and rightly divide the word of truth? Then we shall search the Old Testament scriptures and preach Christ from the types, the patterns, and the prophecies, as did our Lord and his disciples. That's what they preached. This is what they preached. All of them. It's the only scriptures they had. You remember the Lord preaching to the disciples of old on the road to Emmaus and beginning in the books of Moses. That means Exodus. I'm just willing to bet you that he preached on the smitten rock. And their hearts burnt within them as they heard that. And may ours do the same. 1 Corinthians 10, I remind you now, verse 11 says, all these things happened unto the children of Israel for examples. They all happened to them for example. They're written, the story of the children of Israel and what happened to them is written for our admonition. Admonition means warning. Admonition means reminder, to not forget. A counsel, strong urging to don't forget. A history teacher one time said this. He said, if you don't study history, you'll repeat it. So admonition means don't forget. Learn. Upon whom? This is written for us. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Ends of the world. So, and look at verse 1. He says, all our fathers, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers, all the children of Israel, were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. They were all baptized, immersed under Moses in the cloud. Everybody in here has just been saturated with the gospel. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat? Oh, we've eaten a lot of this book, haven't we? This roll. They did all drink, verse 4, the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them. That rock was Christ. But, now here's the admonition, with many of them God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. They were overcome. They were taken up with. They didn't make it. Now, these things, verse 6, these things were our examples, pictures, types to show us to the intent that we should not lust or desire after evil things. You know, things aren't evil in themselves, but they are when we begin to want them more than God. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters. That is, and Paul one time weeping said, their God, it's their belly. What a God to serve. The people sat down to eat and drank, rose up to play. That's all they were concerned about, like the Gentiles. What shall we eat? What shall we wear? Don't let us do that. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication. The world was consumed with it, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt, or that is, try God. as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as thus some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for our example. All right, now go back to Exodus with me. You see, the apostle, all of them, Stephen's message, when Stephen stood up to preach, what did he preach? What happened to the children of Israel? He just rehearsed all that story. And he reminded them, he said, you're just like your fathers. Remember that? And they stoned him for saying it. And on we could go. But let's look at this, and may we learn from this. Verse 1 says, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord. And they pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. All the congregation. Congregation means gathering. Who gathered them? The Lord did. He brought them together. All of them. They were all put there in a congregation on purpose. Children of Israel, sons of Jacob, took their journeys. They were going on a journey. They weren't staying where they came from. Going on a journey. Where are they going? They're going where God sent them. They were going on a journey. And it says they went through the wilderness of Sin. Wilderness of Sin. It's where they're going. They're passing through it. And there's no water in that wilderness. There's nothing that's going to satisfy their thirst. They're thirsty, but there's no water there. Verse 2 and 3. Well, the people, they chided with Moses. Chide means they used angry words. They did tempt. Verse 2, they said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore, why are you tempting the Lord? It's not me you're saying this against and murmuring against. It's the Lord. You're testing the Lord. You know, that's a good description of this whole generation of people in it. They're just taunting God. Just taunting God. Just the word tempt means to just test Him. How far can I go without God doing something? You know, all this talk about extreme, defying God. That's what people are doing. Defying God. Tempting God. How far can I go? It's only as far as God has ordained. And no further. And that's it. Oh, my. See, God doesn't pay all His bills in September. But He does pay. He's got it written down. Verse 3, the people thirsted there for water. People murmured. You're going through the wilderness, you will thirst for water. It'll leave you thirsty. The water of this world. Our Lord said that. And the people murmured against Moses. And they said this. They kept saying this. That we're going to die here. If you brought us out here out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst, we're just going to die of thirst. We're going to die. No, no. Has not God proved Himself to them countless times that His purpose was not to kill them? In spite of God's many wonderful dealings with them, listen to them. I mean, rehearse them again. In spite of God choosing them, they were no different than the Egyptians. But God chose them. In spite of God calling them, revealing the truth. In spite of God redeeming them, God gave them a lamb. Put the blood over their doors. Not the Egyptians. God sent great judgments that they clearly saw as the hand of God. Even killing the firstborn in Egypt. In spite of His amazing sovereign mercy, and that's what it was, His all mercy, wasn't it? Everything he did was mercy, sovereign mercy, sparing them. They were as sinful as Egyptians. In spite of miracle after miracle after miracle after wonder after wonder after sign after provision after provision after provision, bringing them out, compelling the Egyptians even to load them down with money when he brought them out. They didn't lose one of their cattle. They were, when they left the place, they were rich and increased with goods. God sent a cloud to protect them. Sent fire by night to lighten the way, the darkness. Red Sea was parted. The manna fell from heaven, just sweet bread fell from heaven to feed them. In spite of these manifold blessings, proofs of God's Word, how true God was to His Word, they murmured. And murmured, and murmured, and murmured, and murmured. Well, what did God do? Then what did God do after they murmured? Look at verse 4. It says, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What will I do unto this people? They be ready to stone me. Moses, later on, he lost his patience, totally lost his patience, and he was ready to kill them all. I'm glad Moses isn't God. What did God do? Look at verse 5. The Lord said, there was no anger, no reproof, but He just said, Behold, go on before the people, and you take with you of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, that thou smote the river. Take it in your hand. Behold, I'm going to stand before you upon the rock in Horeb. You're going to smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it. I'm going to give them water. I don't think you're entering into this the way. I don't think you heard what I just read. In spite of all that, God should have killed them. You would have. But He didn't even rebuke them. He just said mercifully and graciously, kindly and lovingly to Moses. They're murmuring. They've been doing this since they left. They're only 45 days out of Egypt. And God just lovingly said, I'm going to give them water. I'm going to smite the rock. He said, Behold, I will stand upon the rock in Horeb. Horeb. You remember that place? That's where Moses first heard from God. That's up in those Sinai mountains where he saw the bush burning that was not consumed. That's where God started revealing Himself. And He brings him back there. Brings them all back there to Horeb. It's where they saw the burning bush. That's where the rock was. Smite the rock. I'm going to stand upon the rock. I am. Smite the rock, He told Moses. There shall come water out of that rock that the people may drink. And it says Moses did so. In the sight of all the witnesses, there were many witnesses. That's why I took them there. Witnesses of God's mercy, God's grace, the proof of God's Word. Many witnesses to see that God is true to His Word. God is kind. God is gracious. Now, these things are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. These things are written, these warnings, these reproofs, these reminders, these things, all that we just read, do testify of mercy, infinite mercy, and goodness, and love, and grace, and long-suffering, and kindness, and endurance of the Lord our God, Jehovah, God our Savior. They do testify of Him. They do testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that God took out His wrath that was meant for us rebellious sons of Jacob on His spotless Son who didn't deserve any of it. You see, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And this whole story is about a rock being split. God spoke kindly to the people, graciously, mercifully, spoke a word of His goodness to them, but He took it out on a rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Oh, I'd like to preach this. Now, all the congregation, it says in verse 1, all the congregation, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here we are, a congregation. You are here. The lot is cast in the lap. I decided to go to church this morning. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. We are congregated. We are brought together on purpose. We're here on purpose. We're all here gathered by God. We're here by design, gathered by God. What for? Why did He gather us here? To tell us one more time of His infinite goodness to us. To remind us. To tell us again, one more time, maybe just one more time, of what all He's done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, to break our rebellious hearts and to set our feet right and to save us from this godless, untoward generation. One more time. Today is the day of salvation. This right now is when God Almighty is preaching the gospel to you, you son of Jacob, you. One more time. We're congregated. Congregated. Children. All the children of Israel. Remember that in our Bible study? We're called children. No matter how old we get. Right, Brother Henry? We still at times act like children. Like we hadn't learned a thing. That's what they did, didn't it? Haven't you learned anything, you sons of Jacob? Not much. Children of Israel, no matter the age, we need instruction, we need protection, we need provision. God's, from the day till the day we die, God's going to have to bear us up. He's going to have to carry us. God's going to have to restrain us. He's going to have to constrain us. He's going to have to provide for us. He's going to have to teach us. He's going to have to rebuke us. He's going to have to chasten us. He's going to have to correct us. He's going to have to keep us from destroying ourselves. Till the day we die, we're children. We're children. Journeying through the wilderness. We are not here for very long. We're not here very long. I was talking to Brother Greg Elmquist the other day, and he turned 50 years old. He said, you know, I'd heard before that old saying that when you turn 50, all your whole life passes before your eyes. He said, I used to laugh at that. He said, you know, but it did. He said, I stopped and thought, I can't believe this. Well, what about 60? What about 70? It's gone. It's over. We're journeying. It's just what is your life? It's a vapor. Young people can't enter into this. Can't do it. Can't enter into it. Thank God, my whole life ahead of me. How many years? 20? 30? That's not. That's a vapor. It's gone. Here for a little while, it's gone. Journeying. What do you do when you journey somewhere? It means you're going somewhere. It means you're going somewhere. That means you've got a destination. Everyone is appointed unto man, wants to die. And after that, what? Job, the whole book of Job says, talks about man going to his long home from which he shall not return. Oh, that they were wise, Moses said, and would consider their latter end. Oh, that they would bear the yoke in their youth. Realizing they're on a journey, that you're not staying here, you don't have a continuing city. But boy, you got a long one there. Where am I going? Where am I going? Where am I headed? On a journey. And we're journeying through a wilderness of sin. A wilderness of sin. Many temptations. In the world you shall have much tribulation. And a world that's not a friend to God's people, but it's an enemy. A world which is full of nets and pits and ditches and to which we can easily fall. We're journeying. Read on. And we're doing it. Oh, I love this. I love this. Verse 1, or journeying according to the commandment of the Lord. Like the children of Israel. We're going where God sends us. We're doing what God has ordained, what God has purposed. Don't you like that? We were talking the other day about a woman who got upset, got mad at God. She's mad at God. And she rebuked one of our ladies, saying, all these people talk about God doing this and doing that. And what it was, she lost a loved one. And she was mad at God. And she said, I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe God had anything to do with that. And one of our ladies was saying, that's my hope. That God did that. That God does all things. That God's in control of all things. She said, that's my hope. That's my peace. Or I couldn't make it in this world. The other lady said, I don't believe that for a minute. Then what hope do you have? You don't need a God. You don't have a God. If your God's not ordering all things, purposing all things, directing all things, if everything's not under His divine control, you don't have a God. You don't have a God. You got chance. You got chaos. You better hope you're lucky. You better hope you're lucky. But if your hope's in God, who's infinitely wiser than you are, who's infinitely more kind than you are, who cannot do bad, wrong, but everything's working according to His all-wise purpose for your good. Is there any comfort in that? That all things, where else can you find any comfort? It's all according to the commandment of God. Boy, this journey, the pits, we're talking about dangers everywhere, but God is sending these children right where He put them. He put them in trouble on purpose. Hedged them up. Remember that? Hemmed them up right next to the Red Sea. And their enemies were right on. We're going to die. I put you there to show you one more time that I didn't bring you out here to kill you. I brought you here to save you. This is not going to kill you. It's going to save you. Quit your murmuring. If God was going to kill us, He wouldn't have showed us all this thing. He wouldn't have told us all these things. He wouldn't have smitten the rock. That's what I was talking about. In spite of all their rebellion and all that, God just wonderfully, mercifully, graciously said, go, I'm going to stand on a rock. You hit it. They're thirsty. I'm going to give them water. That's what the psalmist one time said. Is this the way of man? David said that. When David stopped and considered the goodness of God to him, he considered himself. He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have put up with himself like God did. He said, is this the way of man? This is not the way of man. And this is what Isaiah is writing when Isaiah said, God's thoughts are higher above the earth than the heavens are the earth. His ways, not like our ways. Why? Because He's merciful. This should be our greatest cause for worship and rejoicing, God's mercy. My, my. Well, the children of Israel, verse 2. And then there was no water for them to drink. And us, we... You know, I've really been a lot like Solomon. I've had about all there is, anything there is to have here. And most of you here have done the same. Been about anywhere I'd wish to be. What real satisfaction is any of this stuff given? Huh? Nothing. Journeying. And there's no water to drink. There's no water there. There, I tell you where there's water. It's out of a rock. It's not in this wilderness of sin. It comes from a smitten rock. Verse 2, the people did chide with Moses, said, give us water. He said, you're tempting the Lord. Chiding with me, but you're tempting the Lord. The people thirsted there for water. The people murmured against Moses and said, why have you brought us here to kill us? Us and our children, our cattle. Oh, we're not here to kill you. And I'm not being silly here, but I remember I was a young person thinking that this was difficult to endure. this thing of sitting in church. Why don't we have more fun? Why don't we have more programs? Huh? Why don't we have more outings and things for our children? I'm not here. I didn't bring you here to kill you. Some of you may not have heard this story, but a little boy is sitting in the service with his mother, and on the wall were plaques all around the wall with names on them. And the little boy is looking around at the plaque and punched his mom and said, "Mom, what are those? What are those up there?" His mama said, "That's the name of all the boys that were killed, that died in the service." And he said, "Was it in the morning or evening service?" We're not here to kill you. The Lord didn't bring you here. You think of the mercy of God in putting our children in this place, huh? They could be out in those places that are full of fun and games, going a three-ring circus. It's not interested in anything but them having fun. Your children, your grandchildren, under the Word of God at every opportunity. Every time I stand up and we gather together, I'm going to try to teach them the Word of God, which is able to make them wise unto salvation. The time is too short to use any of this time for foolishness. You think of the mercy of God in putting your children here. They can go to the Y and get all the fun they want 6 days a week. Everybody, when they come here, they got to hear this. It's life and death. And it won't kill you. I know. I've sat through more of it than anybody. It didn't kill me. It didn't bring us here to kill us, but to hear the word of life. Verse 4, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What'll I do unto this people? They'd be almost ready to stone me. What am I going to do to them?" Oh, my. And the Lord said, and he's telling us one more time, "You go on before the people. Set before the people. Take with you all these elders of Israel and thy rod." You remember what the rod is, don't you? It's right here. Word of God. The rod. Take the word before the people, before their eyes, with all these witnesses. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that have run this race. None of them who stayed the course died. None of them. Running this race, many cloud, a great cloud of witnesses. You got this rod. You smote the river. You've seen his wonders, haven't you? No, the Lord's not here to kill us. He should have long ago. He could have. When I was a young, rebellious teenager, he could have. Should have. He should have. I would have. I would have. But no, in Exodus 34, Exodus 33 and 34, Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory." You know that story. After all they went through, John. And then Moses said, "Show me your glory." We've seen so much. But show me your glory. What did the Lord say? What did he say? "I'm going to proclaim my name. I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you." The Lord. He said, "I'm going to proclaim my name before the Lord God, merciful." This is his glory. This is his infinite glory. Merciful. To a bunch of rebels. Gracious. The Lord God, gracious. The Lord God, long-suffering. We need to keep an account and keep worshiping him for this account, that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. That the reason we're going to be saved is because God's going to put up with us. How long? More years, more. long-suffering, abundant in goodness. He's not going to be done with us. He's going to keep on keeping on. We won't. We'll keep on keeping on murmuring. The Lord God, keeping mercy for thousands. Just wiping it clean. The Lord God, slow to anger and of great mercy and great kindness. And what he said, that great kindness, all has to do with this rock. My, my. He said, behold, here's the glory of God. Here's the glory of God ascending in the face or the smitten rock, which is Christ. Behold, think about this. Behold, whenever God says behold, you just stop and think. Stop. Think, consider, behold. Just ponder, consider. Get a hold of yourself. Behold. God's going to stand on a rock. I mean, the heavens can't contain him. He's going to be on that rock. He's going to be up on a mountain. And God, who sits on the circle of the earth, is going to be on a rock in a mountain. He's going to talk to him face to face. Of the condescension of the Lord, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? God, behold, stop and think about it. God was manifest in the flesh. God, who sits on the circle of the earth, stood on this earth, in this earth. God, of whom the heavens can't contain, what was a baby? Behold, I'm going to stand on. Now, I quoted that wrong. I said a rock. He said, behold, I will stand on the rock. As if there's just one up there. That's the only one God's going to be on. The rock in Horeb. Same place you went to see the burning bush is where you're going to see the rock. That's where God's going to appear. Moses later on is going to come to Mount Sinai. Same place. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's taken many different forms that hadn't changed him. Hadn't changed him. These are one. And you'll stand, I'll stand upon the rock in Horeb. And he says to Moses. Now who's Moses? Moses is the lawgiver. Moses is the one whom God used to bring the law. What does the law say? Well, Melanie, it's all negative. You get what I mean by that? God made foolish the wisdom of this world. There's one positive. Remember the Sabbath. The rest of it is, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Why is he? Wow, negative. Because we're law breakers. We're born that way. And the first thing we got to learn is no. No. Thou shalt not. Because what we're prone to do, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave, prone to sin, prone to rebellion, prone to it all. That's what we're born, we're dead in trespasses and sin. He said, I'll stand upon the rock. And Moses, who represents the law of God, which says, thou shalt not. Moses is the one who's going to take the rod of God. The rod of God, representing the word of God. He's going to stand on a rock. The rock. The only one where God is. Moses, stand on that rock. God's standing on the rock. Moses. Going to take that rock, or that rod, and he said, you smite the rock. Don't tap it. Don't nudge it. Take that rod and smite it. might. And he said, and God said, God promised, water's going to come out of it. It's going to save their lives. They're going to drink it. They're not going to die. And Moses did it. And God did it. Cleft the rock. Rock and water came gushing out. And went running down that hill. Not a little trickle, but a river. River of water. Did you read it there in Psalm 78? Rivers. One rock. Seemingly a little rock. A river of gushing, flowing, raging, river of living water. And there was a bunch of rebels down there. That rock is Christ. Stay with me. I've lost you. God, who's angry with the wicked every day. God, who's going to destroy this godless planet someday. And that right early. God, who chose us and called us by His grace to reveal the rock to us. God, whom we've sinned against also, send a good such mercy and grace and goodness. God, who says, thou shalt not. God, unto whom we have done all He said not do. God, sent His Son in this world, the only human being worth living. God, who sent His only begotten, well-beloved Son, of whom He's well pleased, never said that about anybody. God made His Son to be sin for a bunch of sons of Jacob. He who knew no sin. God put His Son in the midst of this cesspool of iniquity. In the midst of a bunch of people, came to His own and they didn't want Him. Said, go back where you came from. God, who sent His Son into this hell hole, laid on Him all the charges against all these people. And God Almighty took the law, which says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Every one of them. The soul that sinneth must surely die. God Almighty took this law, His Word, all been broken, and put His Son on a tree. God nailed Him to the tree. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Put His Son on that tree. And God took His law and busted Him between the eyes with it. Smote His Son. He was smitten of God. Killed Him. Ripped His body open. Disemboweled Him. And every ounce of His blood flowed out. He paid a debt that He didn't owe for a people who owed a debt that they couldn't pay. He paid the penalty that He didn't deserve for a people who got what they didn't deserve. Think about it. This is not fair. This is not right. No, but this is the glory of God's mercy and grace and goodness. This is why we meet together. That rock is only one. It's only one where God is. The only one where God is found. The rock. Rock means solid, doesn't it? Solid rock. A rock means a sure foundation. Chief cornerstone. Foundation laid for our hope, for our faith. No other can be laid but this one which God laid, which is Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. Now, God says, cast yourselves on that rock. That smitten rock. Drink. This water's for you. Rebel, drink it up. I smote this rock for you. This blood that's pouring out of my Son shouldn't have, but it is. It's for the remission of your sins. It's for the redemption of your soul. Drink it up now. Don't cast it underfoot. It's a common thing. You glory in it. You thank me for it. Didn't have to do that. Didn't have to do that. Thank God to high heaven for this smitten rock. And he did so. That's what God did. And the people drank. And you know what? Amazing thing. That rock. Now this is the first mention of that rock. Amazingly. And I don't know how it did this, but it did it. They went on their journey. They left this place. And you know, the next morning, bread came down. And you know what? That rock was solid. Just kept pouring out water. Just kept falling. I don't know how it did, but it did. That's a true story. And our Lord, the rock, that rock, which is Christ, He said, I'll never leave you. Now, did they quit murmuring? Oh, no. They sure didn't, much to their shame. But you know, their shame is His glory. Isn't it? Their shame. This is the sin of Israel. As bad as it was, yet it redounded to the glory of God, didn't it? Well, how could He be so kind to such people? That's the way God is. The praise of the glory of His grace. And our Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you're going to keep murmuring. Ought not to. I'll quit it. But God is long-suffering. And just drink. Drink as a reminder. Don't forget the rock. Don't forget the rock. The mercy of God. You know, not be smitten again. You know, that's the rest of the story, don't you? The rock's not going to be smitten again. If you get thirsty, all you got to do is speak to it. You understand that, don't you, Jeanette? You are, you're smiling. The world doesn't know that, Jeanette. There's people right now smiting the rock. And God, they're not going to go in. God's angry. Speak to it. Always there, just get thirsty. It's not in the wilderness water. You speak to the rock. You get all the water you need. Okay. Let's sing in closing. What else could we sing but Rock of Ages? Collect from me. What number? 326.
126.
126. All right. Let's stand and sing a couple of verses.
First and last. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me have.